اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام والتحيات والإكرام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سيما بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. For the reappearance of Imam Zaman, salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
ولعنة الله على أعدائهم وظالميهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم. لعنة الدائمة الأبدية من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
آيات كنداس مطارم يطا بس this gathering today, and may Allah Subhanahu provide a special glance of Imam of the Age, Imam Zaman, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. Alhamdulillah, we have a great presence of youth in the majalis, and that is a blessing that if in a community there are majority youth, that means a young community, and I can hope for the future of the community. Although a mu'min never becomes old, a mu'min lives young in all his life, because he follows the path of the one about him Prophet has said, La fata illa Ali, La saifa illa Dhulfiqar, that he was always young. In all his life he lived young. So we follow the path of people, those who are young, live young in this world, die young from this world, and then they are going to be raised as young from the other world as well. About Ashabika, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Innahum fityatun, they are youth, although they were sleeping for a long time, but at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered as they are youth. And the Imam that we follow today, present Imam, when he is going to arrive after centuries, then again he is going to be youth. So we believe in the people, those who are youth, and we live as youth, and we consider ourselves the followers of the one who is called Al-Hassan wal-Hussein, Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Yesterday, I said that the worship and the path towards the worship is love and affection. And if we like to consider one of the most important secrets, as everything in this world has its own secret, and one of the secrets of the worship is love and affection with the Lord, with the Ma'bud, that if we like to consider ourselves as the people, those who practice the worship. So there are two kind of people in this world. One who practices worship, and second who loves with the worship. The path that we see, path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they not only practice the worship, but they love with the worship. They have ishq with the worship. And one of the most important qualities of the mu'min and the preferred people in this world, in hadith it is said, أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَشِقَ الْإِبَادَةِ. Yesterday I said, the most important people are the one, those who have ishq with the ibadah, those who love with the worship, وَأَحَبَّهَا وَعَانَقَهَا, those who love with the worship, and also they do mu'anika. Mu'anika is one of the manners that when we meet with our mu'mineen, there are three different steps that have been said. One step is salam. Second step is musafaha. One of the rights of a mu'min, when a mu'min meets with another mu'min and greeting is, it's been said, you should start with salam, saying salam alaikum in best of the manner. And I was reading in hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the Prophet has said that there are few things that really bother shaitan, that really make him painful, and one of them is saying salam, greeting upon one another. When mu'mineen meet with one another and say salam, that is one of the things that really bothers him, and he becomes annoyed, he becomes angry because of this practice. And second practice after salam, it's musafaha, that means shaking hand with the respect and honor, shaking hand with the both hands. And third practice is being said mu'anaka. Mu'anaka becomes out of onuk, that means meeting with neck and neck. You know, when we like to meet with one another, then our necks meet with one another. That is mu'anaka. In hadith it's been said man'anaka, that means the one who meets with the worship, and it's not only just making a musafha, but we would like to meet with the worship, through worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means making a mu'anaka with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting so closer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a mu'min gets closer and their onuk, their necks are close to each other. That is how a mu'min becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the worship. That is what it's been said, أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَشَّقَهَا. The preferred person and best of the person and chosen person within people is the one who makes ishq with the ibadat. This ishq with the ibadat, it brings us closer to the yaqeen. That is one of the final destination of worship. That in Surah Hujur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that wa'abud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. That you should worship your Lord until you can reach to the final destination. And final destination of mu'min is yaqeen. That means we are on the path of yaqeen. We live for yaqeen. And all our aspects of life have to lead us towards yaqeen. In this world, there are two types of the communities. One is community of confusion, a community of the doubts. People, those who live with the doubts and confusions. And there is a community that lives for the certainty, that goes towards the certainty. Every step that they take, that is step towards the belief, that is step towards the faith. We as Muslim, and being as a mu'min, every step that we take, we are getting closer to the yaqeen. Our worship is leading us toward that yaqeen that we will be able, although when our Mufassireen, they translated and interpreted this verse, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ, you should worship your Lord, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, until you can reach up to the yaqeen and certainty. They said yaqeen, it means that death, with the death you can reach up to the final yaqeen and final certainty. So there are two types of people. People, those who say that we open our eyes and then we reach to this world and we can understand and realize this world. But there are people, those who say that we close our eyes and then we reach up to the final destination, that is yaqeen. That means our concept that when we would like to reach to the yaqeen, it's not possible that we can reach to the final destiny in this world. This world is not going to provide us that yaqeen, that total certainty, a complete yaqeen. A complete yaqeen is going to be after we close our eyes from this world and reach to other world. When we can see other world, that means meet with our Lord. That is the point that we would be able to achieve that final yaqeen. Every day that we worship in this world, and worshipping with love and affection, it makes us that we take another step toward the yaqeen. But that is the day, every day that passes, then we go a step further. But this is not the final step. That is not the final destiny. The final destiny is final yaqeen. Reaching to the final yaqeen where we can see everything with our eyes. So that means a mu'min can have certain types of the yaqeen. That is why in Quran it's been said, "Kalla law ta'lamuna 'ilma al-yaqin la tarawunna al-jahim." That beware, if you would have that knowledge, "Law ta'lamuna 'ilma al-yaqin," if you would have knowledge, and knowledge which is knowledge of yaqeen, that means ilm al-yaqin is one of the stages. But when somebody can see everything with the eyes, and that is not possible with these physical eyes, when these physical eyes are going to close down, another type of the eyes are going to be open. And there are eyes which we open in this world while we are in worship. When somebody comes in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with love and affection, at that time another type of the eyes are going to be open. You cannot see other world with these physical eyes. You can see other world and beyond this world with the eyes of your heart. Eyes of hearts are going to be open. That means there is a moment when physical eyes are going to be closed, and eyes of the hearts are going to be opened. And that is the reason when it's been said that a mu'min or a munafiq or a kafir, when they are going to close the eyes, at that time they will see some reality. What type of reality? They will see reality coming towards them
a noor is going to lead towards them, and that is noor of Ali Muhammad alayhi wassalam. Once it is said, noor of the Prophet, peace be upon him, noor of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam, noor of Fatimatul Zahra salamullahi alayha. These are anwar. These are the lights that in this world, with these physical eyes, we will not be able to see that noor. But when we close these physical eyes and open another type of the eyes that can see those anwar, that means entering to the world of noor. When you enter in the world of noor, over there you can see the noor. And that noor is yaqeen. But for us it has been said, hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Your yaqeen is going to reach when you enter to the world of yaqeen. After the death, yaqeen is equal to the death. But we know the personalities. Those who lived in this world with yaqeen. Those who born in this world with the yaqeen. That is why Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam used to say, that by God, if all the curtains of the heaven are being removed, nothing in my yaqeen is going to be increased. That means I born with yaqeen, I live with yaqeen, I died with yaqeen. Those who have always with the certainty. Personalities of Ahlul Bayt Salam are equal to yaqeen. That means if you say Ali, equal to yaqeen and haq. And haq equal to Ali. That is why Prophet peace be upon him just translated Ali. He defined Ali by saying al-haqqu ma'aliyyan wa aliyyun ma'al-haq. We are behind haq. We are finding the truth. We are searching for certainty. But for them, certainty, it becomes equal to their personality. Because they born with that yaqeen. They came in this world with the yaqeen. They opened the eyes with the yaqeen. And their eyes never be closed from yet that yaqeen. Always living with the yaqeen. A mu'min, his path is toward the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please say salawat. So that means we are in the search of truth. That is why we say that we need to have belief. Belief is going to fill our doubts and our confusions. But in some of the aspects of our life, we have belief. And in that aspect where we have the belief, doubts are being removed, confusions are being removed. A world you live in, that is world of materialistic, although sometimes they say that what is the difference between a believer and disbeliever? There is a great difference between believer and disbeliever. A disbeliever thinks that we, as a human being, are just like a fruit, that one day this fruit is going to fall down from the tree, and after that it's going to die down. There will be no benefit for that, and it becomes nothing after that. But we do not believe that we are just like a fruit on the tree. We as believer, we believe that we are like a bird in cage. That a day we become free from this world and we enter in the world of freedom. We enter in the world of yaqeen. That is why Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, when they defined this world, they said, Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. This world is a prison of a mu'min. Wajannatul kafir. It's paradise for the disbeliever. A disbeliever considers this world as paradise. But a believer looks at this world as a prison. and waiting for a time when he becomes free from this world. That is why a shaheed, a martyr, when reaches up to the point, because he was searching for the time, that is time of the shahadat, that he can be free from this world. He can sacrifice his life and enter to liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaheed al-Tahri Rizwanullah ta'ala defines the shaheed by saying the one who kills the death and enters to the other world. It's not dying in this world. There are many people, those who die in this world, but there are people, those who kill the death and enter to the death of martyrdom. Martyrdom, that means killing the death. After that, there is no death remaining. Becoming alive, giving ourselves life. A life, that means this life is going to be ending, another life is going to be starting. That means start of a life that is life abad, hayat abadi, an eternal life. Eternal life can start when this life is going to end. And if one can kill this death, which is physical death, he is going to be entering in hayat abadi. He says salawat. So a materialistic life is life of confusion. Materialistic life is life of the doubts. That is why, you know, if you meet with a disbeliever, if you meet with a munafiq, they will always use, I'm not sure. I do not know. I'm not sure, is there any world or not? Do we have anything after this world or not? But a believer opens his eyes in this world, thinks about beyond this world, makes his connection with the other world, with the ishq, with the worship, when he enters by saying, As-salatu mihrajul mu'min. That means a journey towards heaven. That means he has a glasses. Through these glasses, he can see beyond the world. He made his connection to the other world. So the time of the worship, that means a time to travel to the other world. Going out of this world, leaving this materialistic world, entering to the world which is world of reality, which is world of truth, world of certainty, world of yaqeen. And if somebody practices all his life with this yaqeen and continues worshipping, a day his eyes are going to be open to the noor of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He says, salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
That means a life becomes life of yaqeen. Filling this life from yaqeen, filling this life with the belief, that is journey of a mu'min. A mu'min is the one who knows his destination. A mu'min is not the one who does not know about his task, his final destination. He lives with the knowledge. That means a mu'min is aimful, a taskful person who knows his aim and objective. A life with the objective is the life of a mu'min. That's why, because he knows about his final objective, all his actions become objectivable. Every action that he makes, it's full of objective. It is taskful. It is aimful. He's not doing anything without a reason. His life becomes reasonful. His life has secrets. When a life becomes life of secret, that means a life of hereafter. life of hereafter, what it means. That means we are not living in this world for this world, but we live in this world for other world. It is said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to ask sometimes from his wives. It's very interesting. He used to ask from his wives, "Can you speak with me? Can you say a few words that I can feel that I live in this world? That I can be sometimes in this world?" Prophet, peace be upon him, and personalities of Ahlul Bayt, their life is life of hereafter. It is life, not life of this world. That is why they become example for the people. In order to set example for those who are searching the path of truth, the path of yaqeen, there has to be one who lives with yaqeen, who is equal to the yaqeen, who is living in other world. So that is why he says that, "Can you speak with me sometimes that I can realize that I am living in this world?" Their eyes are always open to the other world, because they see this world in its reality. When you see this world within its reality, then you are not going to be confused. Then you have yaqeen. It's like if you are on the top of a building, and if somebody asks you, "Can you jump from the building?" And you have yaqeen. If I jump from the building, I'm not going to live. I will die. I have that yaqeen. And because of this yaqeen, this action, it becomes difficult for me. I cannot step up. I cannot jump from the building. That means wherever we have yaqeen, there's no confusion. I will not be able to do any certain things where I have yaqeen. If I know the reality of this world, if I know the secret of Muharramat, if I know the secret of Wajibat, in that case I will not be confused. I will have yaqeen. That is why Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Ad-dunya jifatun." It's murdar. It's dead body. Nobody goes and eats dead body, meat of the dead body. But because we have not seen that, we will be able to see in its reality when we leave this world. That means death is going to lead us. Death will become a bridge that we can reach up to the yaqeen. We have been promised many things. We have been asked that you have to open your eyes in this world. This worship, it is leading us towards that yaqeen. That's why Quran, when it said, "Wa'abud," you have to use this worship. Make this as a bridge. Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. This worship is not for time being, for one time or two times. It is not for five times. But living in the life of worship. A mu'min is not the one who worships five times a day. That is the wrong concept. It has been said, "Wa'abud rabbak hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen." We have not been asked that you have to worship five times. We have been asked you should worship until you reach up to the final destination of yaqeen. What it means? It means worship in whole your life. Or your life has to be life of worship. A life filled with the worship. We are every time in worship. We change our aspects. Sometimes we come in majlis, there is also worship. I go for my job, there is also a worship. I come serve my family, then it becomes a worship. I am somebody who is serving at home. If there is a female, she's serving at home, then it becomes worship. All the aspects of our life become as worship, because we live for the life of worship. We are servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if life becomes filled with the worship, then this life is going to be to the final destination, that is destination of yaqeen. Worship is part of yaqeen. Every worship, it takes us towards yaqeen. That means we are filling our aspects of our life. Peace say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
These days and nights that we are passing through, these days and nights are taking towards another aspect, another step, that is our final step. Every part of our life is a journey. You know, if somebody is driving towards the destination, and if he knows about the destination, he's going to reach up to the destination. And there's no confusion in that. There's no doubt. But in a case, if you do not know what is my destination, at that time you are confused. You are just running around. You are driving through the streets and searching your path. There can be two types of the situation. One, that an accident happened, something happened, that somebody is just going to say to you that you have reached to the final destination. But this world is not a world of accident. It's reasonful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us GPS. You know, today we have GPS. In order to get out of these confusions and doubts, Allah provided the GPS. As today, physical world, scientific world has provided us GPS. This GPS is just for driving. But where is our GPS for our life? Do we really have a GPS for our life that takes us towards the final destination? That at the final moment it says that you have reached to your final destination. Yes, brothers and sisters, that GPS is provided to us. That GPS is holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's been said, Hudal lil muttaqin. Alif lam mim. Dalikal kitabu la raib fi. It's completely perfect GPS. La raib fi. There is no confusion. Hudal lil muttaqin. But it's guide for the people, those who are searching for the path. Those who like to reach to the final destination. But in order to understand, in order to use this GPS, you need to have the people, those who can train you according to this GPS. So when you first bought your GPS, there has to be somebody who can just guide you, or maybe you can buy the manual. But with that, you know. So today, of course, our children also know about the computer, and that is becoming just as a play for them. They are playing every day with the computer and technology. But this technology that I'm speaking about, that is technology of the life. It is not technology that we use today. Technology of the life, in order to understand, it is important there has to be teacher. And teacher for the Quran, teacher for our real GPS, there are Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. That is why one of the definition of the Imam, it is said, the one who holds your hand and takes you to the final moment, and then he says, you have reached to the final destination. We call that as our Imam. We do not believe in Imam that just leads us in our prayer. We do not believe in an Imam that is Imam of our faith. We do not believe in an imam that just guide us in some of the aspects of our life. We believe in imam that holds our hands and takes us up to the final destination and then says, this is your final destination. Brothers and sisters, this GPS can be used by the personalities, those who know the secret of this life. That is why the worship in the life of Ahlul Bayt Rahimahum Salam becomes in such a way that they provided ornament to this worship. And they become Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad rajil faraj.
So what I want you to say, that if we look at this verse of Quran, it is saying about our final destination. Our final destination is destination of yaqeen. And that is yaqeen which is called haqqul yaqeen. That means the yaqeen where we can see everything with our eyes. In order to reach up to the haqqul yaqeen, one needs to follow the path of ilmul yaqeen. That means every day of our life, we have a knowledge of yaqeen. Every worship, it leads us toward that haqqul yaqeen. That means our steps in this world become as a life, and a whole life is life of the worship, a life of the service. And these services have no end. Sometimes, you know, those people who become volunteer for various types of organizations sometimes, or maybe working in any movement, we say that, you know, I was working for certain years. So let me leave this job and do something else. Is there any point that where we can say that I have completed my duties? In this world, no. This world is a world of responsibilities. Responsibilities never end until we leave this world. We are servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to live in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think, for example, a prophet can say that no, it is the time that I have to leave. Somebody else has to take this responsibility. Or a prophet becomes retired. Somebody was asking, when I was in England, a brother asked that, Maulana, how about these Maharaji? When they become retired? Because, you know, we live in a world and we do some job. We are in a profession where people become retired. So he was thinking that maybe Maharaji also become retired. A Marja never become retired unless he loses those abilities of Marja'iyya. Unless he becomes in a situation that he cannot make this ijtihad. In all his life, he has to complete his responsibility. A mu'min also is in the path of yaqeen, is always in service. He needs to say always labbaik. You know, when we go for Hajj, we have been asked that you have to say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. But is that only when we go for Hajj? At that time we need to say, I am present, O my Lord. No. That is something that in all our life, as Ahlul Bayt Rahimahum Salam used to practice, that when Adhan is recited, it is said, Hayya ala salah. Then they used to say, Labbay, Allahumma Labbay. Standing for the prayer, Labbay, Allahumma Labbay. Whenever verses of Quran are being recited, Ya ayyuhalladina amanu, at that time they used to say, Labbay, Allahumma Labbay. You called upon me. You said, oh, those who believe. That is the point you need to say, that I am believer and I am present before you. Living in the age of presence, always being present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always giving our services, offering our services before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is considered as a life of yaqeen. Never being apart from the life of yaqeen. That leads us towards the final destination, that is destination of yaqeen. But there is a world, that is world of materialistic. Unfortunately, when we came into the world, a materialistic world, we are being affected because of that. We started thinking like materialistic people. Our mentality became as mentality of materialistic people. Although we live as Muslim, but at the same time we are affected. We entered into society, and this society is affecting us every day. We think that we are Muslim, but at the same time living with the confusion. A believer, when he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then aspects of life should be filled with yaqeen, with the belief. I was talking today with the children, and I said that there is a term that is used a lot today within youth. So they say, I am bored. Isn't that correct? So you see, hear that term commonly. Most people, they use that. This term was not existing a few years back, but it became very common within Muslim societies as well. When you become bored? You become bored when you are disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While you live in the life of remembrance, while you live connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no point that you become bored. Why do you consider yourself as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why Amirul Mu'mineen advises to the youth. Rabbihu anfusakum bibada'i'il hikam. Give rest to your bodies by learning various types of the wisdom. That, for example, if you are tired of learning one wisdom, start learning another one. And if you become tired of that, start learning something else. Don't leave a room in your life that you can be bored. When you do not have anything to do, at that time you become bored. But the one who considers himself as responsible person never leaves a room where he can be bored. See the life of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. That sometimes he is in the government. Sometimes he takes the bag, goes outside, serving the poor people, serving the widows, serving the orphans. Sometimes he comes back and starts working with his wife. Sometimes he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starts worshipping. So in all his aspects, you will not see any time, any room in the life of Amirul Mu'mineen where you can call him that he is bored now. Because he does not have time to be bored. Don't leave a time in your life that you can be bored. But fill your life living as a responsible personality. See how Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam changed the environment of the people. Those who came with Abu Abdullah Hussein, Imam started training them. He trained during these few days. You know, we hear about Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, that these days, for example, he entered in Karbala on 2nd and lived up to the 10th. But when you start reading, you'll find that it's almost a whole life. These 8 days of the life of Imam become as a whole life. That we all consider that during our life and search about that, read about that. But just one night that he spent in the battlefield of Karbala, Shab-e Ashur, Imam changed the concept of his campaign. He totally changed the concept of his campaign. How Imam changed the concept of the campaign? It is said during the night, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam turned off the lights and he spoke with the companion. He said, "Oh my companion, if you like to leave this battlefield today, me as Hussein, I'm going to take the bay'ah that you can leave Karbala. It's only me. I'm going to be targeted tomorrow. You don't need to be. You have to leave." In order to train them, Imam gave a total freedom. And everybody said that we believe that we cannot leave this battlefield. We will be standing with you. We believe in you, O Hussein. When they became in the life of certainty, then it is said that Imam alayhi salam said, "Now I'm going to open the curtains of heaven." And Imam started speaking, "Oh Habib ibn Mazahir, can you see your place in heaven? Oh Muslim ibn Awsajah, let me show you that you can see your place in heaven. In the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, one reaches up to the point, you know, these majalis azam, these camps of Abu Abdullah has to take us to the point that we can see our places in the heaven. We need to reach up to the point that we have a yaqeen and we live with the yaqeen. Our eyes should be open that one day our Imam of the age should say to me, 'Would you like to see your place in the heaven? Let me show you.' Stand in the place of Abu Habib ibn Mazahir. Sometimes put yourself in the shoes of Muslim ibn Awsaj. Find your place." Brothers and sisters, once again today, I would like to say salam upon the daughter of Aba Abdullah. And make this majlis again for this personality that is the daughter of Aba Abdullah, buried in Syria. She has suffered a lot. I would like to see her final suffering today. But let us see what type of sufferings, what type of tragedies she has gone through. There are many tragedies for this person. One of the tragedies that Hamid ibn Muslim says that I saw that she was running in the battlefield of Karbala. And I looked that there is little fire on her garments and she's running around. And I saw that there is somebody on the camel, on the horse, he's getting close to this young lady. I thought that he wants to help this young lady. He says that I saw that this lain, cursed person, he comes down from the horse and he stands beside this lady. And he says that I started looking at that he put his hands close to his ear
And then I saw that there's a blood coming out. And she started crying on the battlefield of Karbala. She said, Ya Abatahu, Ya Abatahu, for my father. The one who was always searching for her father, because she was the beloved daughter of Baha'u'llah Hussain. When she became in prison, Imam Sajjad says, my sister was placed in a room where she was alone. In a room where there was no roof. She was alone, she was crying during the days and nights. It is narrated there was a night when she saw a dream. Maybe in the dream, her father said, Oh Sakina, when you are going to meet with me? I'm just waiting for you. For those who have a little daughter, just think that Abu Abdullah Hussain and his beloved daughter. And when she saw a dream at that time, she wakes up, she started crying. When she started crying, all the Ahlul Bayt, they got together. And the soldiers of Yazid, they reported Yazid that there is a little daughter, she's crying in the prison. And she only says, Ya Abatahu, Ya Abu Abdullah. And when this Ma'in, this cursed person, wakes up at night, he says, just take the head of Abu Abdullah towards this daughter and maybe she will feel comfortable. It is said that these soldiers, they took the head of Abu Abdullah Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. They came close and it was covered. It was covered. When it was covered, when they brought it close, she thought they brought some gifts. They brought something for Sakina. And then they took that cloth from the head of Abu Abdullah Hussain. And she started looking. These are the words that I learned from Maqdal. She started looking at the face of Abu Abdullah. And then she said, Oh my father, what has happened to you? Who beheaded you, oh my father? Who made this oppression? How this tragedy has happened? She started speaking with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And then what she did, she got close to the face of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and she started kissing. She started kissing on the face of Abu Abdullah, on the cheeks of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. She started kissing the lips of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. When she started kissing in other hand, Zainab salamullah alayha, she was saying, Oh Sakina, you have to have patience. You have to have sabr. And she was continuously kissing. It is narrated, she put her lips with her choice, but she could not wake up from there. She was just sleeping over there. And then she thought that she would like to live with Abu Abdullah Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Imam Sajjad come close and he says, Oh my dear sister, wake up now. What has happened to you? But he looked at Sakina. The Sakina has already parted. She left this world. She departed from this world because she had seen her father asking her, Oh my Sakina, can you come close to me? Now let me ask Imam Sajjad, you know, Imam Sajjad remembers Sham a lot. He says, Asham, Asham, Asham. Maybe he used to remember because he remembered the time when he was in prison and his sister was died in the prison. I do not know how he buried Sakina, how he made ghusl for Sakina, how he gave kafan for Sakina. But Maqdal only says, brothers and sisters,
when Imam Sajjad and caravan was leaving the Syria, when they were leaving the Syria, and Imam Sajjad, when he came outside the Syria, Hazrat Zainab says that I saw my son Ali ibn Hussein looking behind towards the Syria, looking behind towards Damascus, and saying, "Oh my sister Sakina, oh my sister Ruqayya, I'm leaving you alone. There is nobody in Damascus. I'm leaving you alone. There is a long grave on the city of Damascus." And she says that he was looking time by time while he was heading towards Karbala. He was just looking behind. I would remember, brothers and sisters, when Abu Abdullah al-Hussein was leaving the camp, at that time Hazrat Zainab asked that, "Oh my brother, when you go towards the battlefield, go slowly and look behind toward the camp." That is how Imam Sajjad was looking towards the Damascus. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un wa sayalamu alladheena zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun bismika al-azim al-a'zam al-a'azz al-ajall al-akram ya Allah 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 ya Allah. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من اعوانه وانصاره اللهم ايد قائدنا وولي امرنا اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمشركين والمنافقين اللهم اجعل عواقب امورنا خيرا اللهم اجعل عواقب امورنا خيرا بجاه محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين ماتن الحسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين